Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Caw, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports' Michael Gannon and Liam Bryce. Guys, how are you?
Oh, good, mate. Good, thank you.
Not bad. Surviving.
I can't imagine two other gentlemen I'd like to spend my lunchtime with more. And I think we've got plenty to talk about in this week's podcast. Best place to start, I think, is obviously Monday's game, Celtic against Hibs. I thought it was a really good game, generally, but I thought Michael Rio Hitati stood out like a sore thumb. I thought he looked absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty impressive, especially the first half performance. I thought he looked really looked the part, didn't he? I think he really kind of excited the supporters. He just seemed to be a step ahead of everyone, didn't he, on the ball. His movement, his touch, his passing. He looks like a real find. Listen, you've got to be careful. He's only played, I mean, that was probably... I got an hour out of him before he kind of ran out of steam, which is expected. But in terms of first impressions, he couldn't do much better. You've got to give him a bit of chance to kind of settle on a wee bit as well. I mean, it might take him a few weeks, but on the first evidence, it does suggest that Celtic have managed to do a great bit of business. I mean, what was it, £1.4 million? It really looks a part. What surprises me is the fact he's only got like two caps for Japan. What kind of tide of Japan we got like now? I mean, these guys are an outside bet for the Qatar World Cup here or something. I don't know. But no, he definitely looks a part. It's a great start. It's whether or not he can maintain it, but it's certainly off to a flyer.
I know. I think Kyogo's only got something like, you know, seven caps or something as well. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But as well, it's worth mentioning. Obviously, Liam Dyson-Maeda got off to a flyer as well. Scored 4 minutes into his debut.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice of the Hibs defence just to stand aside and let him score. just a couple of minutes into his debut, he said he was a wee bit nervous beforehand. So it was obviously very kind of him to just part ways and let him score. But no, like obviously it's ideal for him, isn't it? It's exactly what you want. Come to a new club. New country, and as Mick says, you know, you've got to give these guys a wee bit of time to settle. But in terms of first impressions, you know, it's exactly, you know, what you Celtic fans would have been wanting to see. Maeda, he's you can see he's lightning quick, busy. He's around, kind of in people's faces, and it's that kind of pace that it puts the fear of God into defenders. And as well, just coming back to Hitati, it was, you know, he was so impressive. You know, Maeda was good, I thought, but Hitati just, you know, he completely stole the show, even though it was Maeda that scored. It was what impressed me particularly about him was, you know, it was just the pace that he played at. He seemed to be one, as Mike said, a step ahead of everybody, but he seemed to be doing everything just that bit quicker than everybody else on the park as well. Obviously, maybe it told after the hour mark when he did, you know, he did sort of burn out a wee bit. But you know, it was like first time passes, playing passes with pace, you know, wrapping passes into people, good pass to guys like they weren't there at times. So it was an enjoyable game. You know, it kind of died a death a wee bit after the hour mark in general, I thought. But you know, it was a, you know, obviously good to have fans back in the stadium as well, and you could clearly tell that they enjoyed it.
Mick, after the game, Ange Postecoglou admitted that before Christmas, Celtic were running on fumes, you know, down to the bare bones in terms of the squad. Now, all of a sudden, with the new signings, they've got a lot more strength. And even on Monday, it was the lesser spotted Jackie Marcus even come off the bench for a rare outing. If everyone's fit, where do you see, you know, for instance, Maeda fitting in with Jota, Kyogo, Forrest? It's quite interesting.
It is, yeah. I think actually on on Monday for the first time, maybe even this season, the bench looked fairly strong. I don't think you could say that a lot of times in the first half of the season. I think it looked a bit weak on numbers and options, but all of a sudden he has got options now, Postecoglou. I think the way that he plays, he's going to need to have different bodies in the forward areas, because this kind of high press and high intensity game, you can tell, we've seen it in stages early in the season as well, that the front men do get tired because they're running their legs off ourselves for an hour. It's just the way they play. But whereas in the past, when these guys ran out of steam, there was not really the reinforcements to replace them. And now you seem to have guys that can come on the park and not weaken the team too much. Mm-hmm. I thought Jackie Marcus looked quite good when he came on. He said he's pretty much a rotten start to his time at Celtic, Jackie Marcus. I mean, he's the delay over the signing, the COVID, he gets injured in the warm-up, missed a penalty, didn't he, as well. It's been a pretty wretched kind of first kind of few months for him, but maybe the mental break was a bit of a kind of fresh start. He had a bit of surgery, didn't he, as well, and clean up his knee. So it's a fresh start. He looked kind of hungry, didn't he? Come on, he looked keen to make an impression. So that may be another option. He sees something different to what they've got. I mean, you think Kyogo will still be the main man. Jota in there as well. Maeda might be the one that he kind of rotates with. There are times when they might play them both together, because Kyogo can play across the front line, as can Maeda, as can Hatate. I mean, Hatate was a forward, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Before he can end up in midfield, and he played fullback as well. He played everywhere. It looks kind of natural in the middle of the park, I thought, though, the way he was kind of dropping his shoulder and had to take the ball in the half turn.
He didn't look like a utility player, but he looked like an out and out centre midfielder.
I hear kind of Celtic utility player, I think guys like kind of Mike Galloway. I don't think he's big Mike Galloway had his qualities, but I don't think he's a similar kind of player to Tati. I didn't see him drop the shoulder and take the ball in the half turn that many times. He went from outside right to centre half at one point, I think, didn't he? But yeah, I thought a lot of positives. I think having bodies on board and an ability to mix things up and give and take guys off when they're running out of steam, I think that's going to be a big part for Celtic the next few weeks. It's a real hectic spell from now, pretty much now to the end of the season, really. It's going to be hell for leather. So they'll need all these bodies. And I think it's not a case of who plays alongside whom. I think it's a case of everyone playing a part.
It's obviously worth mentioning that Rangers dropped points at Pittodrie on Tuesday night in the 1-1 draw with Aberdeen. It means that the gap at the top of the Premiership is down to 4 points. Liam, I can't remember being more excited for a Celtic Rangers game than this one coming up. I think it's got the makings of an absolute classic.
It does. It really does. And just in terms of, you know, its importance as well. Obviously, I think it's, you know, the differences between, obviously, you did the first game at Ibrox earlier on in the season. But, you know, since then, Rangers, new manager under Van Bronckhorst, and Celtic are, you know, a much improved side since then. Obviously, up until the game at Pittodrie, you know, Rangers were in a really good run of form. So you'd think, you know, it's going to be two sides going into in decent form still, unless Rangers are, you know, not going to pick up where they left off before the winter break. So, in terms of, you know, the importance to the title race as well, I think, you know, it's obviously important, but there'll be, you know, there's so many games still to go. There'll be twists and turns here and there. Both teams will drop points. I think that's a given. And obviously the midweek element adds a kind of an extra layer of intrigue to it as well, just something a bit different under the lights. But it's the one everybody's looking forward to, isn't it?
What do you think, Mick? It definitely has the makings of an absolute cracker.
It's the one everyone's looking forward to, apart from the two clubs involved in the game.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's an absolute headache for both teams now. I think with the kind of, I think Rangers fans are a laugh at Celtic's expense, you know, Celtic running scared because of the prospect of losing Kyogo and Rogic, maybe Hitati as well for that game with international duty. But all of a sudden, that's flipped because now Rangers could be without Alfredo Morelos. It looks like Joe Rebo will still be in action at the African Cup of Nations. They look pretty strong, don't they, Nigeria?
Yeah.
Kamar Roof could be away with Jamaica, Sands with the USA. All of a sudden, Rangers are going without some key men for that match. So both sides, this could be, if the game does go ahead, because, I mean, now there's now options for both clubs to call it off. If they want to ask to get that done, whether or not they get it granted or not, we'll have to wait and see. But both of them have the option of doing that and asking for it. If not, if it does take place on February 2nd as planned, it then becomes a case of who's got the better squad, who has got the better backups to compete. Because, take out Morelos and Aribo from that Rangers team, it's big they're big losses. Kyogo and Rogic, main men, first half of the season. But now we come down to who's got the better backups. And you think Celtic brought in, they've got Maeda, still got Jota, those guys at Forest and that kind of stuff. Rangers backups, who do they play up front if their two main strikers are away? They've got Eaton back, Sakala. So it's a case of who's got the better fringe men, I think, for this one. It could be who's got the better squads, if it does go ahead. So that's another layer of intrigue. It's we'll see who's got the more strength and depth.
Just before the festive break, I'm happy to admit that I thought 6 points was probably just a step too far. I know there's so long to go in a title race, but I just thought it was a touch too big a gap for Celtic to overcome. But Liam, looking at it now, if Celtic win in the 2nd of February, you'd have to fancy them to go on and probably win the Premiership.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think, 6 points, it's we've seen how quickly, that can be, eaten into. So I don't think there was, to be honest, it was looking as if it was, too far beyond Celtic, especially, Rangers were on a really good run at that point, but, these runs always come to an end at some point, so they were always going to drop points, Rangers. And you had to look at the game at Pittodrie coming back straight off the winter break, a hard one at the best of times. And you'd think if there was somewhere Rangers were going to drop points, you could have fancied that it might have been that, especially, Aberdeen had a really good game at them, the last time out at Ibrox. So, If Celtic win, if the game goes ahead, on February 2nd, then, the momentum would be with them. But I just, hesitate to make any calls about who's favourites and who's, falling behind when it is so close. I don't think 6 points tonight, even less so now four, it's just too tight to call still. I really do.
I think that's probably fair when you take into account as well. They've still to play each other three times.
Yeah, exactly.
But Mick, if considering some of the hurdles that Postecoglou had to contend with when he first arrived, and the kind of as we've said, the threadbare squad that he had, if they can get that down to 1 point at the start of February, he would have taken that all day.
No, I think you're right, but I also think that they still have to get past. They've got Tynecastle next week. So they've got to Tynecastle next Wednesday night. But I was there on Tuesday, watched Hearts against St Johnstone. Hearts are looking really, really good. I mean, they've had a great first half of the season. They're a wee bit of a blip in December, but they look really strong. Hearts. So that is a treacherous tie through there at Tynecastle. A bit of alliteration there. It comes natural. But I think Rangers are at home to Livingston next Wednesday night. You expect them to maybe get 3 points at home to Livy. So there's more to be done before they get to that game. So it's all right saying that the gap could be 1 point, but that's no guarantee even to get to that stage, because that's a big game on Wednesday night. Not disrespecting Alloa, of course, at the weekend in the Scottish Cup. So I think Celtic need to get through Tynecastle, and that's also be the loss, the first game of the season. A real, real tough test before they even get to the thinking about that kind of game. I think there is twists and turns to come. I think there will be, every time there's points dropped, it's a crisis at one club and it's a success at the other.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the signings that Celtic have made so far, obviously the three Japanese boys. But Liam, one of the biggest read stories on Record Sport Online on Wednesday was the breaking news that Matt O'Reilly of MK Dons appears to be closing in on a £1.5 million move to Celtic. 21 years old, England youth international. Obviously, we don't watch a lot of MK Dons games, but by all accounts, a really exciting talent.
Yeah, it was one of those ones that kind of came out of the blue a wee bit. I think after Ange Postecoglou's press conference last week, where he kind of just, he shut down a lot of speculation, and he kind of sort of gave the impression that there was nothing else in the, there was no more irons in the fire. Obviously, you've got to take that with a wee pinch of salt as well. And, you know, lo and behold, this deal for Matt O'Reilly's come out of nowhere almost. Again, like yourself, I'm not going to sit here and kid on that I'm anyway an expert in MK Dons or League One football. But, you know, just from reading about him and watching a wee bit, you know, it's clear as a youth player coming through at Fulham that he was very highly rated. They had high hopes for him. I think anybody that, you know, has read the website or the paper today would have seen the interview with Peter Grant, who was, you know, basically saying that he was kind of troubled with, you know, kind of persistent back problems, which is obviously, you know, it's quite, a youth player, you know, to have that kind of issue at that age is quite worrying. But he seems to have shaken that off, and the impression you got is, you know, now that he's a player that's looking to make up for lost time. In terms of what he's about, you know, he's a big lad, over 6 feet, left footed, and he seems to be in the form of his life down there the road in Milton Keynes. But 7 goals from midfield shows he's got a threat. You know, likes a shot, clearly. So I mean, it's another, you know, addition to midfield. I think with the podcast, it might have just been before or after Christmas, and we were talking about, you know, what positions would Celtic be looking at in the window, and there was the obvious ones that we knew that they were kind of looking for more up top. I think it was Graham Young that was on with us when we were talking about, you know, more options maybe at fullback. But I said if they were maybe being a wee bit greedy, another option further forward in midfield would do for the team, I thought, because before Christmas, certainly throughout the season before that, you know, it was David Turnbull and Tom Rogic that were filling those two sort of more advanced midfield roles, with Callum McGregor in behind. You know, obviously we knew that McGregor can step into that role, but I still think he's most effective playing just behind as the number six. So now, you know, suddenly you look at that now, and, you know, obviously Turnbull's out injured, but, you know, it's not going to be too long before he's back. Rogic looks as if he's back at top level now. They've got Hatate who came in on Monday and looked incredible, as we've discussed. And now if you've got O'Reilly coming into that mix as well, suddenly it's looking really, really strong in that area of the pitch, from a position where a few months ago I feel like we were sitting here talking of, well, you know, they've got Turnbull and Rogic in those advanced midfield positions. But aside from that, you know, what does Postecoglou really have to work with? So, you know, if the expected deal is going to be done sooner rather than later, and again, as I said, without having too much knowledge at MK Dons or League One, it certainly looks as if they're getting a player in form who provides a goal threat, and obviously it's over six feet tall, left-footed. It's clearly a physical presence as well, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out if, as expected, the transfer goes through.
Right, we should say at the time that we're recording this, the latest story we have on Record Sport Online is that I think he's had a medical, but there was an approach from West Brom
that was thwarted.
The 11th hour, which, given what happened with Riley McGree, you know, Celtic obviously understandably wary of that. Just on McGree, actually, Liam. He's obviously opted to go to Middlesbrough over Celtic, but given Celtic missed out on him, I kind of guess that's why they went for another midfielder. But do you think that, would you question his ambition going to Middlesbrough over Celtic?
I don't know, mate. I think, you know, in terms of, you know, it's Middlesbrough, he's not going to be down there, you know, competing for trophies and, you know, looking to be playing in European football. But obviously, I think, you know, the perspective is different outside of Scotland sometimes for these guys, maybe younger players, where, you know, we know Celtic, you know, they're a massive club, Celtic and Rangers, a global appeal. we know what it's like here. For it's a completely different world. You know, these guys are, you know, play for these clubs are, you know, they're idolised here. They're household names all throughout the country. But I think it's sometimes, you know, it's just different for guys who are not, you know, from inside this world. So to say, I don't want to be too harsh on him and say, oh, he's not shown any ambition. But I think for a lot of players, especially a sort of younger generation of players worldwide, that I think a lot of them feel that England is the place to be. You know, they want to play in the Premier League. They want to be a part of that. And obviously, it's by all intents and purposes, it sounded that, you know, that Middlesbrough were offering a financial package that, you know, that Celtic weren't willing to match. So it's obviously went above their valuation, and Celtic were going to stick to that. And that's, you know, that's absolutely fair enough. The clubs get a budget that they're working within. They've got their own valuation of players, and it's no secret that, you know, it's hard for clubs up here to compete with the money down south. Not just hard, it's impossible most of the time. Mm-hmm. So I think from a certain perspective, you know, you could say, well, he could have come up to Scotland and he could be competing for trophies, playing in European football. But at the same time, I think, you know, from guys from the other side of the world, the prospect of maybe one day getting to the Premier League is a huge draw for them. So I think, you know, it's Ange Postecoglou, he summed it up best. I think he said he was only interested in speaking to guys who wanted to play for the club. You know, he wasn't going to try and convince anybody that this was the place to be for them. For him, it's all about, you know, they should have that already. Mm-hmm. So, again, we'll see how the boy gets on down at Middlesbrough. But it's just, you know, Celtic have moved quickly to get somebody else in. So I don't think the club or the fans will lose too much sleep over missing out on him.
We've obviously still got 10 days or so, 11 days rather, before the January transfer window slams shut. Do you think Celtic can finish the recruitment if and when O'Reilly gets over the line? The only other area that I can really think of that kind of stands out a little bit that needs strengthening is goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. I know you've got Joe Hart, who's, I think, has been brilliant since he came. But, you know, talk that Barkas might go on loan. I know Bain signed a new deal, but he's never really convinced that he could be a Celtic number one. And mm-hmm. something does happen to Hart, I imagine, you know, you want to have confidence in your number two.
Yeah. Possibly. I mean, I think, as I touched on before last week, Postecoglou was, you know, he was sort of, you know, saying there was no more deals in the pipeline. You know, he was kind of annoyed that a lot of the names been sort of thrown about. So you could say, you know, Barkas, well, you know, we don't need to really go over that again. I think his time's up, and it has probably been for a wee while. I think it's just a case of him finding the right move, the right deal that works out for him and the club. So you could, I think, maybe maybe a backup goalie, or at least a third choice, possibly. But you know, it was only a couple of days ago that Postecoglou was talking about Toby Oluwayemi, the B team goalkeeper. He's been brought into the fold, at least in training, anyway. So I mean, it's obviously, he looks like a player that, you know, they've got high hopes for. I think it was exciting was the word that the manager used, and they felt that it was the right time to expose him to the first team tournament. It's not an urgent position. I don't know if it's one they'll fill between now and the end of this window, but maybe going forward, they'll look to bring somebody in.
Mick, just wrapping up the podcast, I think it's worth mentioning that Ange Postecoglou this week has confirmed that, obviously, Lee Griffiths, his time at Celtic's over. I know it's been talked to death, you know, everything surrounding Lee Griffiths, but I couldn't help but feel kind of sad, just almost like a wasted talent, just turned 31. You know, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, 40-odd goals for Celtic. Surely there's a team in the Premiership that would, you know, can do a job for.
Well, I mean, say wasted talent. I mean, this is a guy that's one of the top 20 top scorers in Celtic history, incredibly. Mm-hmm. He scored a bar load, 100-plus goals, been a good servant. listen, let's be honest, the last couple of years haven't been great for him at Celtic for a variety of reasons, problems on and off the field. It's no real surprise to see that time has come to an end. I mean, in theory, when he went on loan in the summer, that was it over anyway because his contract was up at the end of the year. They've taken the choice to cut it short again in January. Didn't do great at Dundee. Still doesn't look particularly fit just now. There's always going to be a manager who thinks they get the best out of Lee Griffiths and who thinks they can crack him into shape. And I hope there is a manager that can do that because he's one of the most talented guys we've seen in Scotland for years. It's just why or not he can apply himself. He's 31 now. I don't know. Somebody will take a point. I'd imagine he might stay at Dundee.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously close with the manager there. That would make sense. But yeah, it's up to him really. It's up to Lee. I mean, it should have another 2 or 3 years at top level in him. But who knows? He's had a lot of injury problems as well in recent times. He knows his problems that are kind of historical problems as well. But you'd like to see him for a last hurrah, wouldn't you, really? But he's not good enough for Celtic right now. And the way Celtic play, I think the writing was on the wall when Postecoglou came in. And he wants his strikers to be harassing the life out of defenders for 90 minutes. That's not his game. Mm-hmm. So at that point, he was done at Celtic Park, I'm afraid. And I just like, hopefully he can kick on somewhere else. But it's up to him. He's got to apply himself.
No, it was just a few weeks ago, Liam, that he was scoring one of the goals of the season against Aberdeen, that free kick from 35 yards. But I think Mick hits the nail on the head that it's really all about him. It's just how much he wants it.
Yeah, I mean, he's still obviously, you know, you saw that goal, he's still capable of producing these moments of quality. And, you know, it's a strange one. He's kind of, you know, as Mick says, you look at on paper the amount of goals he scored over the years for Celtic, and, you know, you'd look at that and think, you know, well, what a player he must have been for the club. And he obviously did have some really good times, but it's been a kind of gradual slide towards where he is now, where we're at the point of talking of, you know, is anybody even going to take up the option to sign him? It looks like all likelihood he might end up at Dundee. But yeah, as I said, he's, the ability is still there. There's obviously fitness issues, but, you know, Philip, we've been kind of saying the same thing for years. It's up to Lee Griffiths to make of it what he will.
Mm-hmm. I watch the space, I suppose, and I imagine by the time we next speak, there'll have been even more drama in the January transfer window. Mick, Liam, it's been a pleasure as always. Should say for everyone listening, you can find us at record_sport on Twitter, obviously on Facebook, and at dailyrecord_sport on Instagram as well. Thanks very much for listening.